I'm picturing in my mind three different audiences hearing this gospel. First, the disciples of Jesus, scared, confused, puzzled, afraid. Jesus is going away. He has made that very plain. They must have wondered, what will happen to us, his loyal followers? How can we go on without him? We have given up everything to follow him. Is this the end? Secondly, I picture the people of the early church. The Gospel of John dates toward the end of the first century. And most of these folks had never seen Jesus, never witnessed him firsthand, hadn't seen the signs and wonders. They hadn't heard him speak words of wisdom, comfort, and encouragement. They were a persecuted community. They faced opposition and ridicule from those around them. Yet they believed. What did these words from John mean to them? And thirdly, I picture us right here in this room, along with our sisters and brothers in faith in times and places around the world. What does this passage written so long ago mean for us today? You know, as Presbyterians, we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. It's too vague, too ephemeral. In the book, The Shack, a man has an encounter with the persons of the Holy Trinity. God is a warm, enveloping parent figure called Papa. Jesus is a regular guy, a carpenter. But the Spirit is a kind of a shimmering presence, not quite fully visible in the book form. Many of us tend to be leery of talk about the Spirit and about charismatic Pentecostalism in general. I remember attending a service with my brother at a prominent Church of God in Atlanta. At various points in the two-hour service, members would jump up and start speaking in tongues, sometimes falling down and rolling on the floor. Then the minister would interpret what the person caught up in ecstatic speech had said. I, being a prime example of the frozen chosen, was a little uncomfortable. And yet the Bible, in the Bible, speaking in tongues with interpretation is a spiritual gift. Reference 1 Corinthians 12. But I think the Spirit in this passage, in the Gospel of John, is portrayed as something more than the one who inspires ecstatic speech. Here, the Spirit is an advocate, a helper, a comforter, the Spirit of truth. Jesus is returning to the Father, but he promises that he will not leave his friends orphaned, comfortless, bereft, without guidance and help. Through his Father, he will send another advocate. He has been their advocate. They will have another. One who will be with them forever. I wonder how the first disciples heard those words. If they didn't understand that night, surely they understood after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to them in a locked room and breathed the Spirit of life into them. They received the advocate that Jesus had promised to guide them, to inspire them. And with the Spirit among them, they did marvelous things, and the church sprang to life. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It is only through the Spirit that we are able to love Jesus and follow his word. Bound together in the Spirit, the disciples, the early church, and we can do marvelous things to show our love for God and God's love for the world. Because of the Spirit, we have the strength to live for God and to witness to his love in the world. Because of the Spirit, we are comforted and able to cope in the midst of bereavement or tragedy. Have you ever known a time when facing deepest loss, you have nevertheless felt an inner sense of assurance, a quiet comfort, a peace that passes all understanding. That's the Spirit. We are called to love Jesus and to keep His commandments. Living out the heart of the gospel message means offering ourselves in unconditional love to others, offering unconditional love to people we don't like, to people who don't like us, to people who we would rather judge than love. Keeping Jesus' commandments means clinging to the Spirit of truth in a world of lies. As Jesus stooped to wash the feet of His disciples, we strive to humbly serve others in need. Being a Christian is not for sissies. Reverend Joan Gray, a minister in our presbytery and currently serving at First Marietta, wrote a message to the congregation last week. She asked the question, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? She suggests that the evidence would include things like loving the unlovely and the hard to love people, forgiving those who wrong you no matter how hard it is, counting others as better than yourselves, promoting God instead of self, knowing there are no hopeless causes, praying without ceasing, caring for people the world forgets, giving without thought of what's in it for them, taking risks for the sake of God's work. I recognize so many of you in these words. As individuals and as a community, you are living out the gospel at APC, in our community, and around the world. You are making a difference in a broken and hurting yet beautiful world. And you do it out of love. Love for God. Love for others. Jesus promised not to leave us as orphans. Through the Spirit, He is with us now, guiding, inspiring, convicting us to keep His word. Let us embrace this radical love that allows no one to remain orphaned in the family of God. Amen.